documentary, or better yet, just yesterday, right? I was watching a documentary with my sister, and she goes, none of this new year, new me stuff. She goes, new year, same God, same me, right? And then later that night, she's like super delirious because she's tired, but we won't go to sleep. It's like 1 in the morning. And she goes, you know what? In this new year, she goes, we ain't catching feelings. You're going to catch these heads. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, you can't stand here anymore. Go to sleep. Right? So if you see my sister, be careful because she's out here throwing hands, apparently. Which one out of all of them? That's so true. The youngest one, the feistiest one out of all of them. She really is the feistiest one out of all of us. you think I'm mean. She's something else, right? But as much as I can make these jokes about like a whole new year, a whole new me, and going down that cheesy route and being punny, right? Because I love puns and I love being cheesy. I just didn't feel like that was fair, right? And feel like that was fair. And listening to these sermons in this new year, I was just like, man, it's super superficial. You know, it's just the whole like, all right, let's do this. But I can't do that because, one, I love you. And you're like, you don't even know me. But I do. I love you enough to speak truth to you this morning. So this morning, as we go about, if I say anything, I have to do a disclaimer because my mom was listening to me and I was sharing what I was going to say. And my mom was like, people are going to get upset. And I'm like, look, I'm not aiming it towards anyone. I'm just saying what the Lord told me. And if anyone else gets convicted the way I was convicted, that's with them and the Lord. Right? So disclaimer, if you get upset, you can come fight me. You will catch Jocelyn's hands. Because I won't fight back with you. But if there is conviction, it is because God is calling you. And if God is calling you, then respond to what he's calling you to. So a few weeks back, you know, like last year, I told you I love being cheesy. On a Sunday morning, I had a moment. I was back in my... being my back row Baptist self, right, in the back, and I was praying, and I was speaking with God, and I won't go into too much detail about exactly what God and I were conversing, because that's still something we're conversing about, and something I'm still being guided in, but all I can say is that there, God was reminding me of the call that we have, right? Not just my call, not just anyone else's call, but the call we all have. And I didn't like it because I always try to avoid it. And I was speaking with my mentor, and I was just like, I can't. I don't want to. And she's just like, Tandra. And I was like, I know, I'm sorry. But anyways, and it reminded me of Isaiah 6, right? When Isaiah has the vision and he's before God, right? And he's when God fills the room, he immediately says, woe is me, right? He immediately realizes who he is before God, right? The documentary I was watching yesterday, it spoke about, the documentary in itself speaks about if Christ was really crucified, right? Just, I text my mentor and I was just like, never have I amened and wanted to yell and punch people in the screen so much, because you have both opposing views. And one of them talks about, he says, when you are faced with the righteousness of God, you are faced with the reality of who you are. Because if you stand before a holy God, you really can't stand there, right? Moses asked God to reveal himself to him. And even in that, he couldn't even, like, because God knows who he is, he's like, look, I'm a pass, right? But you really can't see my glory, because if you see my glory, you're going to get ruined, you're going to die, and that's it, right? And so it reminded me of this, and towards the end, Isaiah says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me." So as I've been thinking since that moment, and a lot of my conversations lately have led to this question, at what point have we gotten to, or we never really cared to do God's will, right? So either we've gotten to a point where we were on track, and then it's like, you know, I don't really have to do this stuff anymore. I can sort of do it, be mediocre with it, right? On Tuesday when we had to fill out the cards and we didn't know what, we were like, what do you mean be mediocre, right? And I was like, when they explained it, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm being mediocre in this part, right? But we got into a point where we were like, yeah, I've grown up in church. I know Jesus exists. I accepted Jesus. But you've never responded to the call, right? And a lot of the messages right now, of course, are going to be on purpose and on identity and da-da-da-da-da. And I was just like, at the end of the day, when we seek our purpose and we're asking God, oh, Lord, what is my purpose in this life, right? We believe that purpose comes through our marriage, our children, our profession, our possession, or et cetera. Whatever thing you believe gives you purpose here on earth, you are seeking it, right? I was listening to a girl say, I'm still praying that the Lord would provide me a man and some children. And I'm like, keep praying. And when people tell me, you should pray for that, and I'm like, I'm good, thanks. Right? Abby's already looking at me, right? So we think that these things or people in and of themselves provide our purpose, right? So we revolve our lives around everyone, around everything, because we think, oh, once I've graduated and once I become this, that then I graduate, I want to be done with school. But the Lord has jokes, and I feel like He's never going to let me be done, right? What feels like 2 years has felt like an eternity. But anyways, once I get married, once I find the man of my dreams, and we have children, and we have our two-story house with the white picket fence, then we're... just I was like, dang it, that's how you were supposed to pray, right? Then I'll have purpose, right? My purpose is my children. My sister is a stay-at-home mom, and love her to death. And yes, into some degree, is she fit? Is it? Some women don't know how to be stay-at-home moms. That's okay. Some women do. And that's great. And for my sister, she's like, this is my purpose, to be at home with my children. And I'm like, you know, really, it is, because I don't think I could be around kids this long, even if they were mine. After a while, I'd be like, go to your room. Leave me alone. Right? Same. Oh, the other way around. The child tells the mom to go away. Right? But we think these things, right? Or once I have, in my nephew's words, once I have my Lamborghini, keep dreaming, son, right? Once I have this car, once I have this, I'm a be able to fulfill my purpose. And I'm not saying that wanting these things are in themselves necessarily bad. I'm not saying that God doesn't plan these things in your life, but I'm saying that these things, these people, do not give us our purpose. Our purpose comes from God, and the purpose that He's called us to is to proclaim the gospel, right? Because it's easy for me to sit here and pray and be like, God, I should not have written this because everyone's going to start twisting. God, I want to be a wife. God, I want to be a mother. God, I want to be a counselor, right? I don't want to be poor. I want to be rich. You know, I want to be smart. I want to be cool. I know I can't achieve coolness. It's okay. Y'all don't have to come up to me later and rag on me for it, right? And can I achieve these things? Yes. But in and of themselves, they aren't giving me my purpose. They aren't the reason why I do what I do. They aren't the reason why I get up in the morning, right? The reason why I get up in the morning is because God has allowed me to breathe in the morning. And the reason why he's allowed me to breathe is because he's given me a purpose to proclaim the gospel, right? Paul, in his letters to the Philippians, he tells them, you know, I'm torn between the two. And everyone always gets mad at me that I'm like, I'd rather go to heaven. And they're like, what do you mean? You're still young. And I'm like, you understand, if you wake up to the reality of here's earth and here's heaven, which one would you want? Realistically speaking, heaven. And so Paul says it, right? He goes, I'm torn between the two. I want to be with the Father, but I know that it is for your benefit for me to stay here. This is why the Lord has me here, right? This is why the Lord has me at Oreb. Abby's laughing. I made a joke earlier. Right? But before I keep going further and I go on a tangent, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 20. And once you have opened your Bible app or your physical Bible, 2 Corinthians 5. 18 through 20. Let me know you got there. Say amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. We're going to wait on Genesis. Okay. All right. Let us read. So it says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Right? So, verse 20, plain and simple, you're an ambassador. What's an ambassador? A representative, right? A representative of what? Well, yeah, Christ. But an ambassador in itself, what do they represent? Their country, their nation, right? So here we're representing Christ. Here we're representing God's kingdom, right? So if we've come to faith, if we've come to believe that Christ is our sole and sufficient Savior, then you've become an ambassador. It's not this status that you get after 5 years of being a Christian. Then we'll give you the stamp of approval and you can be an ambassador, right? Once you feel ready, we'll give you the stamp of approval, right? Because a lot of times we sit here and we're like, but Lord, I haven't done these things. Wait for me, right? Sometimes we don't want to do missions in the sense of going out when God's calling us because we're just like, but I have kids. You know, I have this, I have that. We won't move because we set the boundaries, right? We're like, but wait, I'll do that, but just wait 20 more years until all of my kids have moved out of my house, right? Like my mama says, I'm waiting for the last one to mosey on out. But the joke's on her. Jocelyn's never going to move. Like she told them, y'all don't catch these hands. Right? We're ambassadors, and what is it that we're representing? We're representing Jesus. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. And so then you ask yourself, what's the ministry of reconciliation? Read verse 21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For you to proclaim what Jesus has done, that Jesus came, that Jesus died on a cross for our sins, he was buried, and he rose on the third day, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life, right? So that everyone who would believe in him would be count righteous before God. So that's your ministry. It's plain and simple. Our ministry, our call, our purpose, however you want to put it, is to proclaim what Jesus has done. This is all about him. It's very easy to enmesh ourselves into the Bible and be like, oh, this is what the Bible says to me, you know, or I am David, or I am Abraham, or I am this, right? It's really easy for us to put ourselves into the Bible, but the reality is God wants us to take this out to the world. You're not the main character in this story. As much as we always want to be the main character, as much as we think we're the center of the universe, we're not, right? The center of our universe, the main character in all of this is Jesus. So it's all about him. It's about proclaiming him. God calls us all, but only a few of us respond. Why? I'm legitimately asking you why. We reject him. We don't want to. We want to put things in our terms, okay? Working at the clinic and working on the ministry side of things, we're always asking ourselves, how do we get more volunteers, right? How do we get people to respond to the call to share the gospel with others, right? And people come, people go for whatever X reason. But in my head, I'm just like, ministry is ministry wherever you go. Everything else that factors into your life, let it fall in its place when you're doing what God's called you to do, right? And so we also said, you know, a lot of times people don't want to join this side of the clinic because they're afraid to share the gospel. Because it's like, well, I don't know how to, right? Some of us just want to bring the patients over. Just messing with Abby because she's here today. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back. Right? So we have to realize our call. A couple days ago, I was listening to Ravi Zacharias, who's an apologist, and he was preaching at a student college conference. And though the whole thing was great, and I wish I could just play that instead of being here, because he just has such a brilliant way with words, I'm just going to share a piece that really just, like, made me just cry and was just like, well, duh. But he spoke about what it really means to be human, right? And in the midst of him speaking about what it really means to be human, he tells the account of when the Pharisees tried to entrap Jesus, right, try to test him. And so this young man's like, oh, you know, should we render taxes to Caesar? And he goes, well, do you have a coin? And he's like, yeah, here it is. And so he sees the coin and he goes, well, give to Caesar what is to Caesar, right? And give to God what is God's. And Ravi says there should have been a second question to follow, right? So if Jesus sees this coin and he say, give to Caesar what is to Caesar and give to God what is to God, this man should have said, well, what belongs to God? Whose image is on the coin? Caesar. So give to Caesar what is to Caesar. Well, what is God's? What image is imprinted on you? Whose image is on you? God. So therefore, that means that if God's image is in each and every one of us, what we should be giving to God is our selves, right? And then I cried because then I was reminded of that one moment that I had with Jesus. Again, I filmed that piece and I sent it, and she's just like, see? He responds this way, and he later, he continues to speak and later says, the day you wake up and it dawns on you that you matter to God as an individual, that you never realize the dreams and the plans he has for you and the fulfillment he can bring in and through you, the majestic name that he holds is willing to indwell you. The very God of all creation wants to indwell you, wants to use you, not because you're some great thing that he has to, like, submit to. But because this is all about him and he wants to show his glory, and he's just like, I want to use you for my glory, for my purpose, and for your good, right? But again, we don't want to. Again, we sit here and we're just like, I don't want to take care of kids. I don't either. Nonetheless, I don't want to change diapers, right? But if we're responding to God's call, then we're doing his purpose, so that everything that we do is to the glory of God. So if I'm in the cuna, if I'm in the nursery, holding this kid who won't stop crying, it's all to the glory of God. If he really let one rip in his diaper and I gotta change it, it's all to the glory of God, right? Being an usher, it's all to the glory of God. I have to stand a whole service. I have horrible knees. Yesterday, my whole left side was shutting down, and I was like, we got to go home. I can't keep shopping, right? And my sister's like, wait, I got to get one more thing. I can't stand up for a whole hour, right? But it's all to the glory of God, right? Maintenance day, the day no one wants to come to because nobody wants to clean this place, right? We trash it. Oh, believe me, we trash it, right? And we get handed out those chiclets. There was wrappers all over this place, right? That was my fault, because I listened to Samuel. We don't want to do these things, right? We want to give, and it's like, okay, well, I'll do this, but again, we set our limitations to it. Oh, okay, I'll sing, but I'll only sing if Brother so-and-so isn't there, because I don't get along with Brother so-and-so, and if Sister who-and-who doesn't sing along with me because she can't really sing, right? I'm not speaking about anybody. I'm just giving examples before y'all start going, ooh, Saul, she's speaking bad about you, right? The reality is you have to wake up to what God is calling you to. The reality is that God has given us a command, right? He hasn't given you a suggestion. He hasn't given you something, oh, if you think about it, if you want to, he's given you a command. But at some point in our lives, we've taken this command and we've turned it into a mere suggestion, or we've turned it into, if it fits in my life, I'll do it, right? If it fits in my life, I'll do it. But right now, my plans are school. So I can't do that right now, Lord, because I have to focus on school, right? Right now my plans are to work hard so you can get this bread, right? So that you can afford these nice cars, that because you have nice cars. In comparison to mine is great, but in comparison to mine, yours is nicer, right? I want to do that, Lord, but see, there's this guy, and we just started talking, and if I move to the Philippines, then, you know, ain't nothing going to happen, and he's going to leave, and so I can't do this. It's happened. It has legitimately happened. I have heard friends do that, right? Leave or not respond to the call because it's like, oh, I'm going to do this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's awesome. That's great. Let's keep praying. Let's keep raising money for you, right? And then a couple weeks down the road, it's like, I don't know if I'm going to go anymore because, you know, there's this boy in my life. And I'm just like, I can't be a youth ministry leader because there's this boy. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Right? I would do this, but my kids, Lord, you know, they're little. I can't subject them to that. Right? We've all been given a call, right? We've all been given a call. So regardless of where you are in your state of life right now, be it married, be it with someone, be it some rich individual, some poor individual, some really smart dude. I'm not going to say we're dumb because we've all been given a brain. We just don't always all use it, including myself. If you're cool, if you're not cool, right? If you are a gamer, whatever it is, right? God has given us all purpose. So these things in our lives fall under our purpose, right? We submit ourselves to God. Everything else comes under, right? And when everything else comes under, then we are being the reflection of who God is to others. God has imprinted his image on us. So let others see who God is in you. But when you're out here booty shaking, twerking, like my sister says, one of the kids at her clinic, the clinic, is a little girl and she twerks. She goes, this kid, pulled out, goes into the splits and twerks. If you don't know what twerking is, you're saving yourself. Right? And so she's just like, this can't be okay. This can't be okay. The mom comes and is encouraging the little girl to twerk. And she's like, this is why it's okay in her life. Right? Wait until she's older, then you don't think it's cute anymore. Right? We're always like, oh, míralo, he's so cute, blah, blah, blah. Now he's old and he's doing the same thing he was doing when he was 5 years. You're like, it ain't cute anymore. Stop it. And they're like, I don't want to. I've always done this. I always tell my nephew, I love messing with him, and I'm like, the oldest one. And I'm like, what happened to you? Where did the cute little 2-year-old that I knew go? And he goes, I grew up. Take this L and walks off. We have such a love-hate relationship. Love to hate on him. He loves to put me back in my place. It's always great. If you ever need someone to bring you back to reality, go to a 6-year-old, go to an 8-year-old, go to a 5-year-old or a 2-year-old. Go to the little kids. They'll put you back in your place, and you're just like, right? So you have to wake up to what God has called you to. Until you wake up to God's calling, you're going to continue to roam this life not doing anything. You're going to continue to come to church on Sundays until your mama can't drag you no more. I'm speaking for the youth. For all of us who are older, right? It's a different story because we're bringing ourselves here. And the reasons why you bring yourself, maybe for all the wrong reasons, is because I did it when I was growing up. It's because I did it. This is what we did on Sundays, right? It's not because you really want to be here. It's just because it's turned into a routine in your life, right? So keep filling up the pews, and that'll be great. A lot of churches have numbers, and that's amazing. That people are sitting in pews, half amazing, because sometimes the person who's at the pulpit isn't preaching truth, and I'm just like, maybe those people shouldn't be there, right? I won't say who, I'm just going to say, because it, like my sister said yesterday when we were watching this movie, or this documentary, it can happen in the big churches, it can happen in the small churches, because she was like, see, this is why I don't like mega churches, and then she goes, wait, let me rephrase that. This is why I don't like church, period, because it could be in the big church, it can be in the small church, where we can get it twisted real fast because we focus on ourselves, right? We focus on ourselves, we think about, it's about me, it's always been about me, right? We think we're the star of the show. Isaac was the star of our Christmas show, right? But until we realize that God hasn't called us just to sit here on Sunday mornings and to go home and just be like, oh, that was a great message. Oh, the songs this morning, right? But he's called us to move. He's called us to go. Jocelyn's favorite phrase, this kid has so many things that I'm just like, I just can't stand you. She goes, we got to do something. Got to shake, twerk, move, jump, something, do something. That's all she did during the Astros when they were in the playoffs. Whenever one of the guys says, she's just like, oh, he's ruined it all season long. Why do you keep putting him? Right? So you got to move. You have to move, and you're only gonna move when you realize who God is. Dr. Tom Constable, in his commentaries, says this: here in this matchless passage, the passage we just read, we find the reason why so few are willing to serve God. They need above all the conviction of sin. Only when man has been convicted of sin and has understood that the Redeemer has borne the guilt of sin, he is willing to ready to joyfully serve God, to go wherever God may call him. So until you come to the reality of who you are before God and what God has done for you, again, it's very easy for us to sit here and be like, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Oh, yeah, I accept who God is and who you are in retrospect to that. You surrender and you serve and you do, right? You don't do because you want to be saved. You do because you're saved. Right? So in many religions, you have do this, do this, do this, do this, and then you'll be saved, or maybe you'll be saved, right? But when Jesus died on the cross, what does he say? It is done. It is finished, right? So it's done. There's nothing you have to do to add to salvation. There's nothing you have to do to be saved, other than to believe that Jesus is the sole and sufficient Savior, that God sent his Son to die on a cross so that you and I could be saved. So you do things because you're saved. You don't do things to be saved. It's a huge difference. And a lot of people in church operate this way. Well, I'm playing the band because I know how to play an instrument. I'm a sing because I also know how to sing. So I'm a play and I'm a sing, right? I'm a be an usher. I'm a be a Sunday school teacher. I'm a be in the media when I don't have to play and sing, right? I'll be in the kitchen. I'll be in every single ministry, and I'll be here for every single event the church has because I have to do these things, right? Because this is what we're supposed to do. This is not what you're supposed to do in the sense of this is what God's called you to. You do these things out of a response of what God has done, who God is, right? And you do these things because God hinges the whole law on two things. And what is that? We forgot already. I remember that one time I brought my pink backpack and I had wood and I said there's two things that we stand on. We forgot to, yeah, and then the second is to love one another. So the greatest command is to love God. The second is like this: to love your neighbor as yourself. So love God, love people. If I love God, then I'm going to love his people, right? If I love God, who loved me first and saw me while I was still yet a sinner and saved me, why wouldn't I do the same for his people? Not that in and of myself I save people. It's not like, oh, I went out and I saved 10 souls. No, that's all God. I went out and I just spoke to 10 souls, right? If they come to faith, that's all on God. That's all the glory to God, right? So wherever God is calling you to do, when it comes to missions, when it comes to ministry, when it comes to whatever it is, right? Wherever God has you, if God calls you to be a doctor, if God calls you to be a pastor, if God calls you to be a counselor, if God calls you to be a teacher, if God calls you to flip burgers at Burger King, those are all your areas of ministry. And in all of those areas, you can still proclaim the gospel of God. It's not only reserved to missionaries. We have all been called to proclaim the gospel, not just people who go overseas. God has called you to serve him, that is your purpose. That is why when Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 28:19-20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the ends of age. He tells this to his disciples, right? And when we read this, it's still an application in our lives to go, therefore, and make disciples, right? Go, therefore, to your school, make disciples. Go, therefore, to your work, make disciples. Go, therefore, down the street to your neighbor's house and make disciples. Therefore, go across the earth, or not across the earth, across seas, and make disciples, right? Go, therefore, to the grocery store. Make disciples. Go, therefore, to Starbucks and make disciples, right? Go, therefore, be an usher. Make disciples. Go, therefore, be a teacher. Make disciples. Go, therefore, and change a kid's diaper. Make disciples. Go, therefore, and serve in the clinic. Make disciples. Wherever you go, your call, your command is to make disciples. But until we wake up to this truth, and until we stop running, because some of us probably woke up, but we're running, and we're like, I don't wanna let go of these things, right? So we're running, which is hilarious because you really can't run from God. Until we wake up, or until we stop running, and we respond to the call. Like I always love to say, especially with the whole World War III memes, the world is going to the pits, right? And unless we respond to the call, unless we start to move, unless we have some action, unless we put some fire under our butts, I don't know if you can say butts up here, but I just did twice. combust into flames. Right? Until there is the reality of who God is as your force to push you, you're not going to move. I can't force you to move. I sit here and tell parents that. I've sat here and told parents that since I was 18, where I used to work, here now. I'm like, I can't make your child a Christian. I can plan plenty of activities. We can have amazing Bible studies. I don't make anyone anything. I'm called to make disciples, and the only way I do that is by proclaiming the gospel. God through the Holy Spirit, and the conviction of the reality of who that person is, comes to faith. When they realize that in and of themselves, there is nothing good in them, that there is nothing in them that will bring them to the Father, right? And they surrender themselves to an almighty God, to a holy God, and say, I am a sinner. And like Isaiah said, woe is me, right? He realizes who he is in regards to the Father, right? If you met your celebrity crush, you wouldn't want to meet him in rags, right? My mom's like, peínate ese pelo, dress nicer. What if you meet a boy? And I'm like, look, if I'm looking like a hot mess and he still loves me, he's the one. Right? They're the ones that really see you for who you are. I'm like, look, this is all you get. This is who it is every day. Can't make it up. Right? But until you respond, until you realize that your purpose here on earth is to proclaim the gospel, that God the Father gave his only Son so that you and I could have eternal life, that Jesus came to this earth, and like verse 21 says, he who knew no sin became sin by dying on the cross. He was buried and rose on the third day. And that when we come to faith, He provides through the salvation of his son and gives us his spirit to guide us. We're not going to do anything. So no New Year's resolution, no 2020 vision nonsense, though you could technically fit it under there. The only challenge I'm giving you is to wake up. Like your mama, when it's like 5 minutes before you're supposed to walk out that door, levántate! My mom was cruel. She would always tell me there was a cockroach on my face when I wouldn't wake up. Or she would be like, I have a bucket in my hand. Don't make me throw this cold water on you, Sandra. And I'm like, ooh. Wake up. There's no bucket on her hand. What a liar. We learned last week what happens when you lie. So don't lie, guys. Huh? Right? So wake up. That's the challenge today. Wake up. Wake up to the reality of who God is in your life. Don't just say you accepted Jesus and you live your life, sit down, comfortable, blah, blah, blah. Wake up, respond to the call, make disciples. Let us pray. Father God, I give you thanks for this morning. I give you thanks just for a new year, Father God. I give you thanks that you've awakened us all this morning with a new breath of life, Father God. In the same way, Father, I pray that spiritually we would wake up so that we would go where you are calling us to go and we would make disciples, God. God, I pray for this new year that we would be bold in our faith, that we would share with those around us, that we would proclaim your name above any other name, that we would speak truth when truth is not being spoken. I just pray, God, that you would reveal yourself to us. Reveal yourself to those who may not believe, God, that you may become real to them. I pray, God, just that we would do just like your son did, that he would go and he would proclaim the gospel, God. I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.